Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Osho Radio is a weekly program that provides you with a discourse from Osho and beautiful music from different parts of the world by musicians that were inspired by their master Osho. Osho has talked for many years and talked about many different subjects. In fact, you might say Osho has given us the tools to go inside and listen to the answers of the questions we have been asking ourselves.
Живые облака улетают прочь из этих мест. где вечные льды. Я стремлюсь наверх, пытаясь превозмочь падение звезд. В карманы толпы, оу-оу-оу. Так где же это солнце, что снилось мне в мои 15 лет? Так где же те волны, что учат любви, хвалы, залучают света? Поздно и слава залепляют дрызг мой объектив, и я не вижу тепла, но мерцание глаз в стеклянной пустоте рассеют миг о крепости стекла. О-о-о-о. Так где же то солнце, что снилось мне в мои 15 лет? Так где же те волны, что учат любви, халуя, залучают свет? Это окей, быть не похожим на всех. Это окей, любить, ибо любовь не грех. Так люби же изо всех сил. Дым рассеют боль напряженных зрачков. Пение гитары, звон железных струн расчистит яй от пожелтевших богов. О-о-о-о. Так где же то солнце, что снилось мне в мои 15 лет? Так где же те волны, что учит любви, хвалы, излучают света?
Today the discourse is from Yoga, the Alpha and the Omega, Volume 3, Number 1. We continue with the discourse in which Osho speaks about different types of dreaming. As Osho explained in the beginning of the discourse, witnessing is the key. First, we have to start witnessing our daily actions. And then, we have to watch the moment we are falling asleep. After this, then Osho says it will take 6 to 9 months to master these techniques. We can go and look what happens in the dreams that we have during the night.
Thank you. then there is a third type of dream. This third type of dream is a communication from the superconscious. The second type of dream is a communication from the unconscious. The third type of dream is very rare, because we have lost all contact with the superconscious, but still it comes, because the superconscious is yours. Maybe it has become a cloud and moved into the sky, evaporated. Maybe the distance is very far, but it is anchored still in you. The communication from the superconscious is very rare. When you become very, very alert, only then you will start feeling it. Otherwise it will be lost in the dust that the mind throws in dreams, and the wish fulfillment that the mind goes on dreaming about things incomplete, suppressed. It will be lost. But when you become aware, it is just like a diamond shining, absolutely different from all the stones around. When you can feel and find a dream which is coming from the superconscious, watch it, meditate on it, because that will become your guidance. That will lead you to your master. That will lead you to the way of life that can suit you. That will lead you to the right discipline. That dream will become a deep guide inside. With the conscious you can find a master. But the master will be nothing more than a teacher. With the unconscious you can find a master. But the master will not be more than a lover. He will fall in love with a certain personality, with a certain type. But only the superconscious can lead you to the right master. Then he is not a teacher. You are not infatuated by what he says. You are not infatuated with what he is. Rather, on the contrary, you are guided by your superconscious that this man will suit you. That this man will be the right possibility for you to grow with. That this man can become your soil. Then there is a fourth type of dream, which comes from the past lives. Not very rare, many times it comes, but everything is a mess inside you. You cannot make any distinctions. You are not there to make distinctions. In the East, we have worked very hard on this fourth type of dream. Because of this dream, we stumbled upon the phenomena of reincarnation. From this dream, you become by and by aware of your past lives. You move backwards. Backwards in time. Then many things start changing in you. Because if you can remember, even in a dream, who you were in your past life, many things will become meaningless, and many new things will become meaningful. The whole pattern will change. Your gestalt will change. because you accumulated too much wealth in the past life. You died the richest man in the country, and deep down a beggar. And again you are doing the same in this life. Suddenly the gestalt will change. If you can remember what you did and how it all came to nothing. If you can remember many lives, many times you have been doing the same again and again, you are like a stuck gramophone record, a vicious circle. Again you start the same and you end the same. If you can remember few of your lives, you will be suddenly surprised that you have never done a single thing new. Again and again you accumulated wealth. Again and again you tried to be powerful politically. Again and again you became too much knowledgeable. Again and again you fell in love, and again the same misery that love brings. When you see this repetition, how can you remain the same? Then this life suddenly is transfigured. You cannot remain in the same rut anymore. That's why in the East people again and again have been asking for millennia how to get out of this wheel of life and death. It seems the same wheel. It seems to be the same story again and again. A repetition. If you don't know it, then you think you are doing new things and you are so much excited. And I can see you have been doing the same things again and again. Nothing is new in life, it is a wheel. It moves on the same route. Because you go on forgetting about the past, that's why so much excitement. Once you remember, the whole excitement drops. In that remembrance happens sannyas. Sannyas is an effort to get out of the rut of samsara. It is an effort to jump out of the wheel. It is to say to yourself that enough is enough. Now I am not going to participate anymore in the same old nonsense. I am getting out of it. Sannyas is a perfect dropping out of the wheel. Not of the society, but your own inner wheel of life and death. This is the fourth type of dream. And then there is a fifth type of dream and the last type. Fourth type is going backwards into your past. The fifth type is going forwards into the future. Rare, very rare. Only sometimes. When you are very, very vulnerable, open, flexible, the past gives a shadow. The future gives a shadow, reflects in you. If you can become aware of your dreams, someday you will become aware of this possibility also, that future looks into you. Just suddenly a door opens, and the future has a communication with you. These are the five types of dreams. The modern psychology understands only the second type. Russian psychology understands only the first type. The three types, the other three types are almost unknown, but yoga understands them all. If you meditate and become aware of your inner being in dreams, many more things will happen. The first, by and by, the more you become aware of your dreams, you will be less and less convinced of the reality of your waking hours. Hence, Hindus say that the world is like a dream. Right now, just the opposite is the case. Because you are so much convinced of the reality of the world in your waking hours, you think while you dream that those dreams are also real. Nobody feels while dreaming that the dream is unreal. While dreaming, it looks perfect. It looks absolutely real. In the morning, of course, you may say it was just a dream, but that is not the point, because now another mind is functioning. This mind was not a witness at all. This mind has only heard the rumors. This conscious mind that wakes in the morning and says it was all dream, this mind was not a witness at all. So how this mind can say anything? He has simply heard a rumor, as if you are asleep and two persons are talking. And you just, in your sleep, because they are talking so loudly, hear some words from here and there, and just a hodgepodge impression is left. This is happening. While the unconscious creates dreams and tremendous activity goes in, the conscious is asleep and just hears the rumor, and in the morning says it is all false, it was just a dream. Right now, whenever you dream, you feel it is absolutely real. Even absurd things look real. Illogical things look real, because the unconscious knows no logic. You are walking on a road in a dream. A horse you see coming. And suddenly the horse is no more horse. The horse has become your wife. And nothing happens to your mind that how it can be possible. The horse has so suddenly become my wife. No problem arises, no doubt arises. The unconscious knows no doubt. Even such an absurd phenomenon is believed. You are convinced of the reality. Just the opposite happens when you become aware of the dreams and you feel they are really dreams, nothing is real. Just mind drama. A psychodrama. You are the stage and you are the actors and you are the story writer and you are the director and you are the producer and you are the spectator. Nobody else there. Just a mind creation. When you become aware of this, then this whole world, while you will be waking, will change its quality. Then you will see here also same is the case, on a wider stage, but the dream is the same. Hindus call this world also Maya, illusory, dreamlike, mind stuff. What they mean? Do they mean that it is unreal? No, it is not unreal. But when your mind gets mixed into it, you create an unreal world of your own. We don't live in the same world. Everybody lives in his own world. There are as many worlds as there are minds. When Hindus say these worlds are Maya, they mean the reality plus mind is Maya. Reality, that which is, we don't know. Reality plus mind is illusion, Maya. When somebody becomes totally awakened, a Buddha, then he knows reality minus mind. Then it is the truth, the Brahma, the ultimate. Plus mind, and everything becomes dream. Because mind is the stuff that creates dreams. Minus mind, nothing can be a dream. Only reality remains in its crystal purity. Mind is just like a mirror. In the mirror, the world reflects. That reflection cannot be real. That reflection is just a reflection. When the mirror is no more there, the reflection disappears. Now you can see the real. A full moon night, and the lake is silent, and the moon is reflected in the lake. And you try to catch the moon. This is all that everybody has been doing for many lives, trying to catch the moon in the mirror of the lake. Of course, you never succeed, you cannot succeed. It is not possible. One has to forget about the lake and look exactly in the opposite direction. There is the moon. Mind is the lake in which the world becomes illusory. Whether you dream with closed eyes or you dream with open eyes makes no difference. If the mind is there, all that happens is dream. This will be the first realization if you meditate on dreams. And the second realization will be that you are a witness. Dream is there, but you are not part of it. You are not part of your mind. You are a transcendence. You are in the mind, but you are not the mind. You look through the mind, but you are not the mind. You use the mind, but you are not the mind. Suddenly, you are a witness, no more a mind. And this witnessing is the final, the ultimate realization. Then whether dream while asleep or whether dream while awake makes no difference. You remain a witness. You remain in the world, but the world cannot enter in you anymore. Things are there, but the mind is not in the things, and the things are not in the mind. Suddenly, the witness comes in, and everything changes. And it is very, very simple once you know the knack of it. Otherwise, it looks very, very difficult, almost impossible. How to wake while dreaming? It looks impossible, but it is not. 3 to 9 months it will take if you every night go to sleep while falling into sleep, trying to be alert and watching it. But remember, don't try to be alert in an active sense, otherwise you will not be able to fall asleep. Passive alertness. Loose, natural, relaxed. Just looking by the corner. Not too much active about it. Just passive awareness. Not too much concerned. Sitting by the side and the river flows by. And you are just watching. 3 to 9 months it takes, then someday suddenly the sleep is falling on you like a dark screen and like a dark curtain. As if the sun has set and the night is descending. It settles all around you. But deep inside a flame goes on burning. You are watching, silent, passive. Then the world of dream starts. Then many plays happen, many psychodramas, and you go on watching. By and by the distinction comes into existence. Now you can see what type of dream. Then suddenly one day you realize that this is the same as while waking. There is no difference of quality. The whole world has become illusory. And when the world is illusory, only the witness is real. And that will make you a realized man. Meditate on the face of your beloved. Meditate. If you love flowers, meditate on a rose. Meditate on the moon. Or whatsoever you like. If you love food, meditate on food. Meditation should not be a forced effort. If it is forced, it is doomed from the very beginning. A forced thing will never make you natural. So from the very beginning, find out something which appeals you. There is no need to create unnecessary conflict. And this is to be understood. Because mind has a natural capacity to meditate if you give it objects which are appealing to it. In a small school, a child is listening. The birds are chirping in the trees and he is listening and he is raptly listening. He is enraptured. He has forgotten the teacher. He has forgotten the class. He is no more there. He is rapt attention. Meditation has happened. And then the teacher says, "What are you doing? Are you asleep? Concentrate here on the board." Now the child has to try, make it first. Those words never said anything to the child. That look, we are singing here. Be attentive. Simply it happened. Because it has a deep appeal for the child. This blackboard looks so ugly. And this teacher looks so murderous. And the whole thing is forced. he will triumph. But by effort, nobody can meditate. Again and again the mind will slip. So many things are happening outside the room. Suddenly a dog starts barking, or a beggar passes by singing, or somebody is playing on a guitar. So many millions of things are happening outside. And he has to bring his attention again and again to the blackboard, to the ugly schoolroom. We have made schools just like prisons. In India, the school building and the prison building has the same color, red. School rooms are ugly. Nothing is appealing there. No toys, no music, no trees, no words, nothing. The school room is meant to force your attention. You have to learn to concentrate. And this is the difference between concentration and meditation. Concentration is a forced thing. Meditation is natural, spontaneously your whole being starts flowing. Just look at the face of your beloved. In her eyes, meditate. Ordinary religious teachers will say, "What are you doing? Is this meditation?" They teach not to think of your beloved while you are meditating. They think that is a distraction. And this is a subtle point to be understood. There are no distractions in the world. If you make unnatural efforts, then there are distractions. You create them. Your whole being would like to wash the face of your wife, husband, your child. And the religious teacher says, these are allurements. These are the distractors. You go to the temple, to the church, meditate on the cross. You meditate on the cross. Again and again you remember your beloved. Now the face of the beloved becomes a distraction. Not that it is distraction. There is nothing special in meditating on the cross. You are simply stupid. What is the need to go and meditate on the cross? If it appeals you, it is good. But there is no necessity. There is no special quality in a cross. In fact, wherever meditation happens, there is this special quality. Meditation brings the special quality. It is not in the objects. It is in you. When you meditate on something, you give your inner being to it. Suddenly it becomes sacred, holy. Things are not holy. Meditation makes them holy. You can meditate on a rock and suddenly the rock becomes the temple. No Buddha is so beautiful like that rock when you meditate on it. What is meditation? It is showering the rock with your consciousness. It is moving around the rock, so absorbed, so deep in wrappers, that the bridge is there between you and the rock. The gap disappears. You are bridged. In fact, you don't know now who is the observer and who is the observed. The observer becomes the observed. The observed becomes the observer. Now you don't know who is the rock and who is the meditator. Suddenly the energies meet and mingle. And there is the temple. Move to the natural attraction, then you are one. Then you are whole. Then you are together. Then you are one piece, not a house divided against itself. And when you move as one piece, there is dance in your step. And there is nothing which is not divine. Don't create any conflict. Always find wherever your love is flowing. Ride on your love. Today it is a flower, tomorrow it is a child, day after tomorrow it is the moon. That's not the problem. Every object is beautiful. Wherever your appeal, flow naturally. Ride on it. Meditate on it. The emphasis is on being whole, undivided. In your undivided being, meditation blooms.
The meditation today is from the book The Message Beyond Words. It is a translation from the Hindi book about the Katopanishads, the Lord of Death. The search for experience is sheer greed. Drop this search for experiences. Experiences are not needed. Rather, the experiencer is needed. The one who is experiencing, become acquainted with that. All experiences are alien. They are outside of your being. Spirituality is not an experience. Spirituality is to be one with the experiencer in whose presence the experiences of light appear, the experiences of fragrance come, in whose presence there is a play of colors as if a rainbow has appeared, in whose presence music is heard. But all these experiences are happening on the outside. Although these experiences are happening with closed eyes, still they are outside of you. The experiencer, the one who knows all this, is beyond. The knower is always beyond what he is knowing. Until you become one with the knower, you cannot have any glimpse of spirituality. Some are searching for excitement on the outside. They go to the movies, or they listen to the radio, or go to see some dancer. Some are searching on the outside for beauty, and some are searching within themselves for lights and colors. They try to awaken their kundalini, or they try to see some inner light, or attain to some inner bliss. But the search is the same. The search is for sensation or for excitement, and neither of these two are spirituality. Spirituality is the search for consciousness, for that witnessing consciousness where all experiences have ended and only the experiencer remains, where all visions disappear and only the seer remains, where everything belonging to the realm of the knowable has disappeared and only the knower has remained. The search for that state of absolute aloneness, Kaivalya, is spirituality.
Whispers hello, always in times when I need nothing more than what I've gotten, what is right now. Love is a breeze, I can't make any vows. Love is a breeze, my friend, whispering without an end. Love is the promised land, deep inside our hearts. Life has so much to give today, we just let it live. Moving out of its way, love is free to come and stay. Thank you.
Goodbye, everybody. This was Osho Radio. You are listening to music in this program by Maduro, by Atmo Ravi. Music from the world of Osho, from the CD Basho's Pond, The Atmospheres, and some music that was added in a new section of OshoNews.com by Upakas. Stay tuned to Osho Radio. Have a good week, everybody. Take care. And until the next time. Bye-bye.